Craig Forrest is our Premier League and FA Cup analyst on Sportsnet. Craig Forrest joins us now in the Jeff Blair Show. Craig, you've played in this competition when you were playing in England. What makes this competition so special for and I'm thinking so special for fans and players in particular?
Well, I think it goes right to the number of participants. This year, there are 737 teams will compete for the FA Cup. Premier League comes in what they call the third round, which is coming in now. So you have your top 20 Premier League teams, obviously, and your other professional clubs, which add up to 92, and then hundreds of non-league teams. And then over the years, you've had the lower divisions, non-league even, at times will beat a Premier League team or a professional team, which is, adds a real pageantry to it. I mean, could you imagine if the Stanley Cup was competed by every single little hockey team right across Canada? It may take you 10 rounds to ever get to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but if you do, can you imagine how big that was? And then on top of that, you go to their arena, for instance, and they cut the ice up so there's a foot of snow on it, and you got to try to compete. And that's a way to make it a bit of a leveler for teams, and we've seen some pretty astonishing results in the years gone by. I mean, going back even to 92, Wrexham, who finished bottom the year before, 92 professional clubs bottom, beat Arsenal that year. So seen some pretty amazing matches. You never want to be as a Premier League player. Mm-hmm. I've been in this situation playing against a non-league team, especially away, because you know the cameras will show up. You know that they're for the potential of that giant-killing match. So third round can be very difficult, be challenging, but once you get through that, it becomes a little more comfortable, even though the opposition becomes more difficult.
Now, you've had, there's a bit of Craig Forrest history when it comes to the FA Cup, isn't there? I mean, you made it to the quarterfinals with West Ham. You played for Ipswich Town, and I believe Ipswich Town won the FA Cup before you got there, did they not? But it was right. And it's the type of thing when a team wins it, isn't it? I mean, it carries over for years and years and years. When you win the FA Cup, people talk about it 10 years down the road as if it was just yesterday.
Oh, yeah, because I heard about it. They won at Ipswich in 1978. I arrived there as a young lad in 1984. Played there for 13 years and never won the FA Cup again. They were the last town to win the FA Cup. I mean, for the size of the town itself, is an astonishing accomplishment. And then after that, they went on to win the UEFA Cup when it really meant something in 1981. So we got there. When I got there, it was after the glory years of Ipswich, and it was very difficult to keep up that standard and almost impossible to keep it up to the level that the fans expected it, even though they probably were a little beyond what they should be winning. But incredible matches. Had a great fifth-round match against Liverpool, Robillard and Ian Moldy and Dean Saunders, Steve Nicol, McManaman. Went to extra time. Ipswich had never won at Anfield. We didn't win that time either, but eventually we beat them in the league there. So it's a special competition. A lot of the Premier League clubs, even the ones underneath Man City who are running away with this year, will be looking at this competition as a way to find their way into Europe, and as well as win something in a year that it looks as though Man City is going to win the Premier League at a canter.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, Craig, for teams like, for the Premiership team, a team like Leicester playing Fleetwood Town, or that may be a bad example, but a Premiership team playing a team that is a couple of divisions below it. How do you prepare for that? You know, because you know, I'm sure you're looking ahead to the schedule, and you know, I've got Man City this week, Stoke this week, I'm going to be facing this guy this week, this guy next week. Yeah. Now I got Fleetwood Town, and you're going, who the hell do they have, let alone, you know, who am I going to be facing? How does the preparation differ for a Premiership team going up against a Fleetwood Town?
Well, usually a couple of weeks in advance, at least a month in advance, they'll send scouts out to watch Fleetwood to see what they have, what they're going to have to offer, or even check out the facilities. Fleetwood, doing good. As a matter of fact, only has a stadium of 5,500, most of it standing. The good thing for Leicester City is that Jamie Vardy played for Fleetwood. He was signed by Leicester City from Fleetwood when they were non-league. They're now in the league because they came up through the system into the second or third tier, actually, now. But he was the first £1 million player bought in non-league, then went to Leicester, and then the rest is history from there. He went on to obviously win the Premier League at 5,000 to 1, but has a rich history at Fleetwood Town that was brilliant when he won. I think he won the league, non-league conference at that time to get him into the league, and then went to Leicester. So a pretty special moment for Fleetwood Town, how far they've come. And then with Jamie Vardy playing against them is a pretty special occasion for them. But for preparing for it, really difficult. And I would rather go out and play against a Premier League team away and would be less nervous probably about it than I would do being playing against Fleetwood Town, just because of those reasons I said, that the pitch was probably not going to be ideal. The conditions could be windy, wet, cold, a leveler, and they have a decent manager who used to play for Man City, who was Rossler, so the German guy. So that should be an interesting match. And I mean, for the pageantry at all, you sort of hope that one of these teams will win against a Premier League team or even a top division team, because it just is such a special moment for clubs that can really last for decades.
Now, I know a couple of years ago, John Molinaro talked to you about your experiences in the FA Cup, and I'm just reading the article right now, and of course, one of the things that happens with the FA Cup, the possibility of replays, which leads, of course, to the possibility of shootout, a penalty. And I'm reading, you apparently loved it when a match went to penalties. Why on earth would a goalkeeper like it when a match went to penalties?
Well, it's one of those moments in games that don't come around all that often for the amount of football that you play. But when you do, it's one of those times when a goalkeeper really is not under pressure.
Okay.
You know, you're a one-on-one against the other player or the other goalkeeper. But if you lose, it's the penalty situation. It's unlucky. But if you win it, you can be a hero. And that happened with us actually in 98 when we beat Blackburn on a replay. Mm-hmm. Back up at Blackburn, beating them, and then went on to lose against Arsenal on penalties in the quarterfinals. So, yeah, I never found penalties to be that stressful, to be honest. It was one of those where you could only be a hero, and if you lose, it's penalties.
Right. I see in John's story, mm-hmm. you made a save on Colin Henry to
secure it.
And you also went on to say, and this is your point, I mean, I do like this point, when has a goalkeeper ever lost a shootout and been blamed? You know, you make a mistake in regulation, and everybody talks about, my God, he made a howler. It happens in penalties. You go, well, one guy, big net, what the hell? What are you going to do?
Exactly. That's it. That's in a nutshell. And that's the way you got to look at it, too. I mean, making a mistake in a big match, if you played extra time forever and ever until there was a goal, that would be really disappointing. But in penalties, just shrug it off, move on.
Hey, Craig, we're also entering a new transfer window now. We're in a new transfer window as of January. As you point out, Man City's running away with the Premiership. You know, everybody else is kind of lining up to see who's going to finish second, third, and fourth, who's going to secure the European places. Is there a team... Is there a club in the Premiership you're watching during this transfer window with particular interest, either for guys going out or guys coming in? I mean, you know, the first reaction is we keep hearing a lot about Philippe Coutinho and Barcelona making a £140 million offer for him. But are there Premiership teams you're keeping an eye on over this window, teams that may make significant moves one way or another?
Well, it's an expensive time, January, and everybody knows that. If you're going to get into the market for players, you're generally going to pay over the odds for prices for them. Coutinho is definitely one we're watching. I thought when Van Dijk was bought for £75 million as a central defender, which is just insane, I thought there might be something on the works there with Coutinho, that there might be a bit of good news before some bad news if he does leave. If they could keep a hold of him, would be brilliant for Liverpool, because obviously if you're going to go on to win leagues and Champions Leagues and compete, those are the players that you need to stay at the club. The rest of them, Arsenal, what's going to happen in this transfer window? Sanchez, Ozil, their contracts run out at the end of the year. Well, are they going to pick up a little something, or are they going to let them walk on a free transfer at the end of the year? These are big questions for them. Man City have a few injury concerns, but if they need to go the course with what they have, I think the Pep Guardiola will be more than happy with that. And then down at the bottom, you're going to have some clubs scrambling around. The new Swansea City manager, who is sitting right at the bottom of the league, said he wants lobster, but they've only got money for sardines. And that's about what you're working with. And I kind of feel for him because that's exactly it. If he's going to go out and look for somebody, it'll be expensive, and they probably aren't the quality that he needs to stay in the Premier League. So stay tuned on that.
Craig, we're going to let you run. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Yeah, a belated Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks. Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you.